Blog Talk Radio.
It's the emotion picture. Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes we get emotional. Things that we be going through. A way to get it out without sounding clowny is overdue. I go in the vocal booth, but that's just the chosen few. You don't gotta suffer from love issues, there's hope for you. You stuck in the homie zone, don't know the rules. Relationship ended, you need closure soon. Or you trying to spice up your sex life. We got Jet Set Jazz to help you and maybe show you moves. And victorious will interject with intellect in case you go from friends to sex to lovers, or you get rejection, or you feeling disrespect and don't know how to deal. We ain't judging, we just touch on subjects. We know how you feel. Call in. Got our host game so official. It's deep even when we plan. You know it's called the emotion picture, cause you can see what we be saying. Tune in.
Good evening, and welcome to the Emotion Picture Radio Show. I am one of your hosts. My name is Victorious, and we're listening to David Ruffin in the background. We have a good show tonight. But first, for the show, let's introduce my esteemed colleague and co-host, who is, I think she is driving down the mean streets of the I-95 or something. Where are you? Well, first of all, who are you?
Good evening, everyone. This is Jet Setting Jasmine, and I just left Virginia, or that whole D.C. area, and just crossed into Jersey, so I'm in your neck of the woods, kind of, sort of.
Oh, I didn't know you were coming to Jersey.
I didn't know either. We just had a wonderful, wonderful time being booked in Virginia, Marlboro,
okay.
Marlboro, Virginia.
With a cigarette?
Yeah. I didn't get smoke while I was there.
Did you pass by the Marlboro factory? Or
I don't know. It's all a blur. It's all a blur, and I promised them that what happened in Marlboro, Virginia would stay there. But good times, and headed back to Florida tomorrow. So, yeah, busy. How are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I spent Friday with a lot of members of our Emotion Picture Online group. We went to Santos Party House in New York, and it was the after party for this hip-hop show at Radio City Music Hall. So it was dope. I want to shout out Six came through, Dexter and the real Roxanne and Tanika came through. Oh, and Kawhi.
Oh, nice. The whole Emotion Picture
family.
Yeah, so
and people brought friends, and it was dope. It was great. Good times. And, yeah, I forget, yeah. Got my car washed yesterday, so it was big after snow.
What's the point? All it does is snow and make your car all nasty the next day.
Yeah, I have a Shaw isn't here yet, is he? Yeah, Shaw's not here. I have an interesting story. I was, it kind of involves Shaw a little bit, and that involves one of his exes in high school, but you know Ness Jazz, Ness, former guest.
Yes, I know Ness.
You know, Weekend Money, right, yeah. So I had went to Best Buy because I had a gift card. I had a gift card, a legal gift card. It was not stolen or forged. And
okay, like somebody
rolled,
actually gave
me.
It to you?
Yeah, and he rolled with me, and I bought some gadgets and stuff like that, whatever. And so he had to go to Target, because he had just moved. And see, the Best Buy and Target are on the same mall. So first, let me ask you, is it strange or queer to see two men in Target together for the shopping cart? Is that like strange?
Household.
Okay, so we walked in there, and then I see this girl that, you know, that we know, that's Shaw's ex, whatever. And it's funny, I forgot who she was at first. So when I saw her, you know, you don't really know somebody. He's like kind of So then, but, you know, I realized who she was at the end. I said, oh, you know, I said her name. But I realized it looked real crazy. It looked like I was, you know, shocked to see her, you know, and shocked for her to see us.
Right.
So, you know, and this so happened that, Ness was looking for furniture for his, you know, his bedroom, like comforters and all that. So it was a real crazy, crazy experience. So, you know, if y'all hear anything about me shopping for comforters, you know what I mean, talking with the guy, you know what I'm saying?
So the rumor would be that you were household shopping with Ness in Target?
Yeah, that may be the rumor. You know, we were,
because
I had bought a lot of stuff from Best Buy, right? So, I had bought a lot of stuff. So, it was heavy to carry, so Target got carts. So, I threw my stuff in the cart. So, I'm pushing the cart, you know what I'm saying? He's walking around, so, you know, I mean, I'm secure and everything, but I was real aware of, I'm looking around and I ain't see no dudes, like no two dudes, you know, and Target together, so it was, you know.
Walmart would have been all right, but Target...
Really?
Walmart is okay. That's some place that, you know, you can, nowadays you run into, but a planned trip to Target with your boy for household items...
It was not planned, though. You know,
I know,
it was planned.
I know. It's just how
it
appeared.
Happened.
It's just how
it
appeared.
Happened out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's okay. No. I wouldn't be too concerned, but if there is a rumor, I think you really cleared it up just now.
But you know the funny part is that when he had originally asked, when we were on the bottom floor, where the comfort was at, the dude was like, you know, second floor in domestics. So, you know, we got up to the second floor. I was like, yo, dude, whatever you do, son, do not ask for domestics. So it took us extra time to find it because we wasn't going to be asking for domestics because the whole, you know, whatever. So, unfortunately, after 3 years of doing this show, you know, while I am open to different things, you know, I learned a lot about myself yesterday that I still am sensitive to, you know, I guess traditional gender type roles, whatever, in this country. So maybe I'll be cured.
That we have all grown quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
And you probably, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago you would have made some type of outward gesture to make sure she knew that, you know, or that everyone knew, like, dude, I'm going to wait for you downstairs in, you know, at the food court while you go shop for your sheet. But now, like, so what?
That's reverse. That's actually in reverse. Huh? I think that actually I should have waited for him downstairs. That would have been, but you know what, I need to blank CDs, though. I need to blank CDs. And so this is going to segue to today's topic, right? We're going to do a song first, and then, you know, but so we're in Target, whatever, and then, like, I didn't want to be at the register with him and shit, you know what I'm saying? So then I also looked for the blank CDs. I went around for the blank CDs, and there's this little boy. It's kind of like halfway not funny. This little boy, you know what I'm saying, out by the CD aisle, right? And he's playing the keyboard. He's really bad at the keyboard, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, you know, I know how to play piano a little bit, so I should help him. But first I had to rush the CD back to where Ness was doing his purchase, whatever. So I went there and said, yo, I'm about to go help this little boy. I'm about to teach him how to do the chords and shit, you know, so I go over there. Exactly. I go back over there. I'm like, this is looking crazy. You know, hey, let me show you how to do this.
No. Yeah, it's just as bad as I have some candy.
Yeah, it was really
you
weird.
You want to learn how to play
the
piano?
I just got, you know, I mean, his mother was there, you know, but not that that ever really matters, you know, unfortunately. And so, you know, this leads to, in a weird way, this is going to be the lightest part of today's show, this leads into today's topic of sexual abuse, right? So I think we're going to show you ways to detect creeps and also the effects of being assaulted by a creep. But first, we're going to go into some music. We're not going to do a role model romance today, but just so everybody knows, I think Kerry Washington is pregnant by that guy. And yeah, so let's... It's nothing to do with him being... Wait, is he white? Nothing wrong with that, but he's a white guy, right?
I don't know. We don't care anymore.
I'm racist. I'm homophobic. I'm everything.
Yeah, you're racist. You're everything.
Sure,
but you're no creep. Listen, before we go into the show or into the music, I just want to say congratulations to Ness on getting his own place. It's about time he moved out of his parents' house.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
About the music.
Oh, no. Child.
I had no idea.
That was
wow.
You had no idea what?
I never knew that they made that song. That they made a song touching that topic.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't know because I was just in Target incidentally. But so this topic, this show, we have a lot of history with this topic. We've covered everything in the 3 years that we've been on the air, and we covered some things twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this topic has always been the elephant in the room for us. We've never really mm-hmm. went here with this. So, you know, we have our meetings, and it's come up several times, but, you know, so here we are. So, topic of defective sexual abuse, I wanted to start off with, I think I can say a positive. Mm-hmm. I want to start off with a positive aspect of the effects of sexual abuse. And I want to speak on famous survivors of sexual abuse. Now, of course, every survivor of sexual abuse is, you know, wonderful in their own right, okay? And we wish them all to feel wonderful in their own right. But here are some famous people you may not have known about these people, right? So, number one is Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to number everybody. I'm just going to be a 10, but y'all just count with me. I ain't going to be like number 2. It's not a war. We have Tyler Perry. I think people know that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks
very openly.
Well, I didn't know about Queen Latifah.
I didn't know that.
None of our business, right?
Nope.
Unless she wanted to. Latifah, by the way, I love her to some of the roots. So whenever she comes back to this side, I'm going to, you know. Donnie McClurkin. That's
that.
The gospel dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou. Yeah, it's still I rise, Maya Angelou. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Great, talented Missy Elliott, who doesn't really get mm-hmm. her props on the mic. Rosie Perez. Okay. this is a big one. Carlos Santana from Santana. I hope some of y'all, if y'all don't know Carlos Santana, I need to go and search Carlos Santana. A great,
I know Carlos
guitar. I know you know, because you're like halfway Latina, but you know, some may not know him. But bigger than the Wyclef song, like Santana definitely is a name that y'all should know, whatever. Gabrielle Union, which we just kind of found out recently.
I don't know.
And of course, Mary J. Blige.
You say, of course, but I didn't know that either.
About Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, I knew that really? She had issues with substance abuse. Yeah, I knew she had issues with substance abuse. But, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the reason why or anything, but that's kind of like the extent of the negative trauma that I knew about her. I didn't know that she was a survivor of sexual abuse as well.
Hmm. You know, I never knew, like, I never read it or heard it. But just listening to her music, just somehow I just knew that
okay.
was part of the drama in her life. You know, but I'll tell you something about me. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
just me. I assumed that with most women, you know, and then you know, I come to find out that 1 in 5 girls,
mm-hmm.
1 in 5, that's 20% girls, have been mm-hmm. a victim of child sexual abuse. You know, so...
Well,
mm-hmm.
When you were saying those names, it's like, you know, I kind of was like, oh wow, like, you know, her or him, and really, you know, I would have never thought. But then the other part clicked in, like, this is so prevalent, it's so
mm-hmm.
common, it's so, you know, it's so pervasive in our family cultures that I shouldn't be surprised if you named every famous person, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So that's women. That's 1 in 5 women. I mean, just think of, I could think of, you know, 20 women off the top of my head, and 1 out of every 5 of them is a survivor. So what about for men?
Well, and let me just stop. You know, I don't want to even say women. I just want to say, you know, girls, because there
girls.
Are still at this point girls who are doing
mm-hmm.
that. And as far as boys, 1 in 20 boys.
Wow.
Is a victim of child sexual abuse. And, of course, you know, the gravity of it is that this is what we know about.
Right. Those numbers are extremely
Right. There's
those
no
are reported.
Stats for unreported, right. Unreported stats for this, right. So this
well,
is
damn,
what,
that's like every child,
yes.
then, when you think of unreported.
Yes. And, you know, it just clicked in my mind, you know, but, okay, it didn't click in my mind. I'm not that smart. One of our producers, Chastity, just sent me a message that song, which Destiny's Child, that was from the Survivor CD. I'll take credit for that, but it wasn't me. But it's from the Survivor CD, so that makes perfect sense. Right? Dang, that's actually a whole lot of them. Listen, that whole thing may all be about that.
Right.
I don't know. Interesting. Now, during a one-year period in the United States, and this is the United States, it's not even like, you know, Thailand or whatever, 16% of children between 14 and 17 have been sexually victimized, right? And during the course of their lifetime, 28% of children 14 and 17 have been sexually victimized.
At some point in time in their childhood?
No, between 14 and 17. In those ages.
Okay.
Right. The most vulnerable to child sexual abuse is between the ages of 7 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 out of 4 adolescents who have been sexually assaulted were victimized by someone they knew well. And that is, you know, like you speak about family culture, you know, I think that, unfortunately, like, if you don't know, all right, let me not say this. It's almost to the point where, like, if you don't know of it going on in, somewhere in your family, then it's going on somewhere in your family. Like, if you don't know who Uncle Chester is, you know, there may not be Uncle Chester in your family. You know, but, you know, there is a good probability that there is. Maybe extended family, maybe, you know, someone through marriage, but, you know, it goes on. And that's why I was saying that growing up, when I first started dating, that I met so many women, so many girls that had that experience. I'm like, well, damn, like, you know, if you told me that wasn't your experience, I'm like, are you sure? Like,
right.
you know what I mean?
Being honest.
It's like with, like, domestic abuse, like, you know, if I meet a woman and said no one ever hit her before, I'm like, wow, like, that's very rare.
Like, you're a lucky one, right.
Right, but I've also, I was with a woman, and she didn't tell me until, I think I dated her, maybe 2001, something like that, and, we broke up quickly, but we remained friends to this day. And she told me maybe about 3 years ago that she was raped in high school. And this girl told me everything. You know, a lot of embarrassing things, you know. But, of course, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, but to say that a lot of things she was ashamed about, she told me about. But it took her about 12, 13 years to tell me that she was raped, you know, in high school. So, you know, there's a lot of dark secrets, and talk about R. Kelly. The R. Kelly thing is back in the news, right? Well, it's not in the news, unfortunately, but it's back in the community, the things that he did. I think that we've kind of forgotten that R. Kelly actually does have teenage daughters, right? And we dropped the ball the first time around, because a lot of us, we were young, right? And we allowed it to be the focal point that he was pissing on bitches. Like, oh, he's pissing on bitches? Oh, that's crazy. He's a freak. He's pissing on bitches. You know, had Dave Chappelle had did the whole thing. I'm sure a lot of us had, you know, jokes about pissing on bitches, Golden Childs, whatever. You know, but none of us was like, wait a minute. She was in the eighth grade? Like, he did what? Like,
right.
You know,
he was inappropriate with a child. Period.
Right. It was just like, oh, he's just freaky. And, you know,
right.
They hit the Olympics, you know. But we do the same thing in our families, you know,
absolutely.
Where, you know, we don't really champion these causes. And we allow the matriarchs of our families to sweep these things under the rug. for whatever reason, I'm sure there are a lot of different reasons. It was always heartbreaking to me to hear, you know, a woman, yeah, well, that was, you know, grandpa, but, you know, he's still around. You know, no one called the police, you know, whatever. This is very
well, there's a lot of things. I mean, especially in these situations where they are within families, they are trusted. They're trusted individuals or people in power or with some type of power over the family structure that are allowed to get away with these things. One of the things that we have learned through many of our shows is that when someone is abused or taken advantage of for an extended period of time and it becomes somewhat of a norm to them, especially for a child, that you don't have anything to compare it to, you know. You just, you know, it's kind of like these are the conditions that you're born in, or this is what happens when you turn 7 or when you turn 8. And maybe the other children are have experienced it too, so this may be your norm. And a lot of these type of things happen for generation after generation. So you have, you know, this uncle or this aunt or, you know, this inappropriate adult that has been abusing children in a family structure for many years. So that adult, you know, who then has children, puts their child in the position of exactly what they went through when they grew up. So it becomes very much a cycle in families. And, you know, people will say things like, why didn't you? And by no means am I giving people an excuse for not removing their children from dangerous situations. But oftentimes people will say, like, why didn't you do anything? Or why didn't you tell someone? Again, these are trusted individuals or people in power with influence in the household. So where are you going? You know, it's very similar to our domestic violence talks where we say, you know, a parent is abusing the other parent in front of the children or is abusing the children, and we expect that this person is going to get up and move. You know, move where? So, and because within our culture, you know, it's kind of you don't tell. I mean, you don't tell, and if you do, there's some very drastic repercussions for it. Sometimes little girls are blamed. You know, that they were maybe being sassy or they shouldn't have been sitting on an adult's lap or, you know, a number of different things that we
and
blame.
And besides being blamed, there's a lot of intense examination. It's kind of like if it's not ignored, then it's like, you know, and so with sexual abuse, you know, with rape, I'm just here thinking that those are the two crimes that people really go in. Like, are you sure? Like, you know,
right.
Well, how do we know this happened? And maybe, like I know a situation that, I know it's a couple situations, but one situation is a guy, he was, I won't say caught, right? But he was seen in the middle of the night with his hands basically in between, you know, a young girl's legs, right? Mm-hmm. When the mother was like, you know, what are you doing? He said he was checking to see if she wet the bed and by filling the panties. And it's like, well, why didn't you check the bed? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's,
right,
you know.
Right.
But then, you know, the female parent, the guy, he's still walking around alive. He's not in jail. You know, pretty much that's that. You know, but we with sexual assault, you know, we allow so much leeway, you know, for the suspect. You know, and
right,
you know, it should be, things can be misinterpreted, but you know, it's funny with such a crime that, you know, we investigate, and most of the time we acquit. Or like a R. Kelly, we just wait till it's, you know, it's just over talked about, and we just say, oh yeah, we talked about that, and yeah, it was messed up, and just don't invite Uncle Robert, you know, to the reunion no more, type of thing. And,
right,
and this guy
right
has daughters, you know?
Yeah, and this child, or now adult, is still, you know, is left feeling, you know, with no type of validation, still feels, you know, completely unprotected.
Right.
And she was made to, again, to be seen as the person at fault. What was she doing out at that hour? Like, you know, if you see my kids out in the middle of the night or where they're not supposed to be, you return them home or you call the police. You don't molest them. That,
right.
You know, like, kids being unattended is not an invitation to harm them. So, again, I think you really hit it on the head. Like, there's a lot of embarrassment. When you use the word embarrassing, we make the victim embarrassed for being in that situation, for reporting it, instead of making them feel safe, protected, and, you know, that they did the right thing. So there's a lot of layers to why there are so many cases of sexual abuse. One, because people can get away with it very easily. And really the perpetrator is protected more so than the victim. And also because so much goes unreported, you know. I think the numbers that you read for boys are, you know, they're
one
out of 20, period. Yeah, one is too many, period. But the fact that, you know, for men, it's whether it's sexual abuse in children or sexual abuse or any type of attack towards men, it's underreported for so many reasons.
With men, it may even be more underreported than women.
Oh, yeah, grossly underreported.
Yeah, a man not going to talk about how he lost a fight, a fist fight nowhere, something like that, you know what I'm saying? Or he lost a basketball game, you know, so... You know, he's not finna to talk about, you know, we do have someone in our online community that he is very vocal about that. He had been sexually assaulted, you know, so we do have, you know, some men who have come to terms with it, you know, and that's definitely a beautiful thing. But there's also a lot of denial. I want to say that all the parents are weak and stuff. Some parents are just in denial, you know, like.
Right.
I had a situation, well, I want to be clear, it wasn't a situation, but there was a situation that when I was, I don't know how old I was, I may have been 10, 11, 12, 9, 8, I have no idea, but I saw a doctor, right? I forget what doctor it was. May have been a regular dude, I don't know. So basically, in order to check me, he had to feel my balls, you know what I'm saying? That's what they said. So he put on the balls and said, whatever. My mother's aware. I think she may have been there, whatever. When I left, I'm like, you know what? Hey, mommy, you know, I didn't feel right about that. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, well, that's, you know,
right.
The doctor does that. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I don't feel right. And, you know, and hey, he may have been totally within the, I think the word is purview.
Right.
Yeah, the purview of his, whatever, you know, I only got two big words per minute, you know, but as a child, I felt like, I don't like this. I do not like this. I don't, that may be what they teach in school, but this is no bueno, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, but she, you know, like, nah, that's what it is, whatever. Nah, eventually, you know, we talked about it and she apologized for ignoring that, you know, I didn't go back there. It wasn't like every time I went, they fingered me and nothing like that, but I just
right.
know that if that was the case for my little thing, like, you know, like that, you know what I'm saying? I can see how, you know, a child or, you know, a boy or girl can report feeling, you know, a way about something that's kind of like, you know, on the line, you know?
Well,
and
there
the
are a lot
not,
of blurred lines.
Right. But see, when you do that with a child and you allow for that blurred line thing to be on the, you know, the good side, whatever, you know, what you're saying is that, like, I can only imagine, you know, knock on wood, that if it happened again or happened for, you know, quote unquote, for real, I'd be like, well, I probably ain't going to tell mommy, you know, or when the abuser, you know, I watch TV and everything, they run that line like, oh, this is regular, like, don't worry about this is something that's natural, you know.
Right, or they're playing doctor.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
So.
Can we play a song? We get that De La Soul on real quick.
Okay.
Before we go into playing Doctor, because that's a whole nother. I think we gotta we got to expose all these different lines they use to these crazy lines. And if you want to call in and share your experience or your expertise, you can dial 323-657-1479. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Jazz. I know you do some work with sex abuse survivors. So we're going to get to some of that and some other stuff. And maybe some De La Soul.
This is the styling for a title that sounds silly, but nothing silly about the trifling times of Millie. Millie, a Brooklyn queen, originally from Philly, complete with an accent that made her sound hillbilly. Around this time, the slamming drug was milk is chilling, but even cooler was my social worker Dylan. Yeah, I had a social worker cause I had some trouble. Anyone who ripped on me, I popped their dome like bubbles. He bring me to his crib to watch my favorite races. That's how his daughter Millie became one of my favorite faces. She had the curves that made you wanna take chances. I mean, on her man, I love to make advances. I guess the father must have got the same feeling. I mean, actually finding his own daughter Millie appealing. At the time, no one knew, but it was a shame that Millie became a victim of the touchy-touchy game. Millie, what's the problem? Lately you've been bugging. On your dookie earring, someone must be tugging. You were a dancer who could always be found clubbing. Now you're worried now with the frown you're lugging. Come to think your face is sick when deals around you. He's your father, what then happened? Did he ground you? Shouldn't flip on him cause Gil is really cool. Matter of fact, the coolest fella in the school. He hooked up a trip to bring us all the Lacey's. He volunteered to play on Santa Claus and Macy's. Child, you got the best pops anyone could have. Dylan's cool, super hip, you should be glad.
Yeah, it seemed that Santa's ways was parallel with Dylan. But when Millie and him got home, he was more of a villain. While she slept and he crept inside her bedroom, and he would toss her, then would force her to give him head wound. Millie tried real hard to let this hell not happen, but when she fussed, he would just commence to slap.
Yo, Dylan, man, Millie's been out of school for a week, man. What's the deal?
I guess he was giving Millie Bruce's time to heal. Of course he told her she was sick and we believed him. And at the department store in Santa, we would see him. And as he smiled, his own child was at home plotting. I walked the face of this girl, she was gonna knock him. When I got home, I found she had tried to call me. Mama, she had kicked to her hair. How you doing? I tried to call her, honey, but her line was busy. I guess I had to make you bug out on Dylan.
I received a call from Mrs. Sick herself. I asked her how was she recovering her health. She said that what she had to ask would make it seem minute. She wanted to talk serious, I said go ahead, shoot. She claimed I hit the combo dead upon the missile. Wanted to know if I could get a loaded pistol. That ain't a problem, but why would Millie need one? She said she wanted a pop deal and a heed one. Ran some style about him, pushing on a private. Look, honey, I don't care if you kick faucet. There's no way that you could prove to me that deal's flipped. He might be the butt, but your jeans he wouldn't rip. You're just mad, he's your overseer at school. No need to play him out like he's someone cool. She kicked that she would go get it from somewhere else. Yeah, whatever you say, go for yourself.
Sort of scene for Santa's kisses and all the little brats that man in all their wishes. Time passes by as I wait for my younger brother. He asks his wish, I waste no time to return him back to mother. As I'm jetting, Millie floats in like a zombie. I ask her what's the problem, all she says is where is he? I give a point, she pulls a pistol, people screaming. She shouts the deal, he's off the hell cause he's a demon. None of the kids could understand what was the cause. All they could see was a girl holding a pistol on claws. Dylan pleaded mercy, said he didn't mean to do all the things that her mind could do nothing but cling to. Millie bucked him, and with the quickness, it was over.
That was De La Soul, Millie Pulled a Pistol on Emotion Picture Radio, FM. That's an album, De La Soul is Dead. And which came out in 91. And I didn't even, I guess I was young, because I didn't even know that was about all of that. But,
yeah.
You know, the words go, she had the courage that made you want to take chances. I mean, on her, man, I like to make advances. I guess her father must have got the same feeling I mean, actually finding his own daughter really appealing. At the same time, no one knew, but it was a shame that Millie became a victim of the touchy-touchy game. So, you know, it's pretty much Millie was abused by her father, and she got a gun, and she killed him, killed her father. Some years ago, in 2009, hip-hop duo Atmosphere recorded like an unofficial sequel, and it was called Millie Fell Off the Fire Escape. Right. And that and that song, the same Millie from De La Soul song, she runs away after murdering her father, and she contemplates going back to tell the police that killed the father, but instead she just keeps on running, and she's in an abandoned factory, and she's climbing the ladder to get in the building, and the police catch up to her and tell her to come down, and she slips and falls off the ladder, and she dies, which is grand, right? So that's, you know, pretty sad. So, you know, people obviously feel as though there is nowhere to run, right, after that, even after they claim what they feel is power in the situation. So what I want to do is I want to give some resources, right, and these are, I'm going to give some websites and some phone numbers, where if you feel as though you may have been a victim of sexual abuse, or if you know someone that has been, that may need more help than you can provide them, or if you want information on it, like you definitely stock
you
up
work
on
with
education.
Work with people you should know. Yeah, anyone.
Dating. Like everyone should know. It's like CPR. Everyone should know about this stuff, right?
And
so,
you know what, Rick? I just want to say before you give those resources out, Rick said, you know, if you think you may have, if you think you have, then you probably have. Don't give it too much thought. Just go ahead and get some information and clarify those thoughts for yourself.
So we have first we have the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and that is the nsvrc.org. And rewind that if you didn't get that. I ain't gonna say all these twice. We have RAIN, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And that's RAINN.org. And from RAIN.org, we find that one out of every six women in America have been the victim of an attempted or completed rape in her lifetime. Right. So we have things like that in RAIN.org. That's RAIN with two N's. We have the National Children's Alliance.org. That's National Children's Alliance.org. We have Help for Men Who Suffer Sexual Abuse as Children. We have LIN6.org, which is a good one because you put that in your browser, no one's going to really even know what you was you're looking at, you know.
Right,
Which is pretty good. And, you know, as far as men, we found out that 3% or 1 in 33 of American men have experienced an attempted or completed rape in a lifetime that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not in jail. This is out here in the world.
Yeah.
And 5 to 10% of adult males recall childhood sexual assault and sexual abuse. And 2.78 million men in the United States have been victims of sexual assault or rape. And we're coming almost to the close of our show, so I want people to know we may run a bit over time. And so, as usual, Blog Talk Radio, our show is scheduled for a certain slot, but you may want to dial in 323-657-1479, because I believe that as long as you're listening through the phone, the show won't cut off on you, but if you're not able to, the archives will always be there. And last, let me give you a hotline. Hotline is 1-800-656-4673, and that's the National Sexual Assault Hotline. That's 1-800-656-4673, right? And that's the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Hotlines are good, because I know that people think it's corny, whatever, I don't know. But I remember one time I had applied to the suicide hotline, and they was like, nah, like, we good on you. So, and I think I'm cool, you know what I'm saying? So trust me, they don't just let anybody on their phones, you know what I'm saying? Like, they make sure that when you call that you're going to get yourself some help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of our survivors, you know, not everyone's going to go to a website, but they may go to jetsetandjasmine.com and find you. Kind of work have you done, Jazz, to help victims or, excuse me, survivors of sexual abuse?
So one of the things is through my work with, because I'm a sex expert and working in court.
I'm sorry, Jasmine, we're losing you a bit.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me
now? I got you now.
Am I a little bit? Okay,
perfect.
Great. So through my work as a sex expert, working closely with people with their sexual intimacy issues and couples, I found myself running into a lot of old hang-ups, so to speak, mostly women having hang-ups sexually and not really being able to move forward in a healthy sexual relationship, and sometimes just a relationship in general. And doing some exploration, like, you know, what is the block, what keeps you from being comfortable, what keeps you from being able to trust your partners or to let go of some of your inhibitions sexually, we find that a lot of them have had sexual trauma in the past, and a lot of times as children, many times, you know, and a lot of women that have been, people I should say, that have been sexually abused as children go on to have other unhealthy relationships and, you know, have a difficult time coping with intimacy issues. So, a lot of the work that we do is redefining sexuality. And, you know, both King and I, you can listen to some of our shows on the Mile High Club about how we help women redefine those experiences as children or in abusive relationships and start to come to terms with their own sexual preferences, not what, you know, that whatever creepy uncle or whoever was abusing you for many years put in your mind. Also that you are not at fault for these things that have happened to you as a child or a young adult. That was not the norm. It was, you know, someone that has a bad bone in their body that they did to you. And we also find that a lot of women are not protected. And you talked about this, Vic, that, you know, they may have told someone and they didn't believe them. They were silent. And, you know, left to continue to be in either in the abusive situation or around their abuser. So these women are all also, they tend to be silenced as adults, repressed. You know, they just take what is given to them by their partner. And oftentimes their partners have a lot of trouble with being close to, you know, to their loved one intimately because of this block. So like you said, the woman that did 15 years to tell you about her rape, mm-hmm. she may not have realized that was affecting, you know, your friendship or your relationship. And
sure.
Perhaps for you, you may have found it difficult to get close to her, or that there was something, like, you know, maybe she didn't trust you, or she wasn't completely, you know, committed to intimacy with you. And I'm just using that as an example. And a lot of times once we're able to kind of get that out on the table and have the couples talk about what happened to this person as a child and how that has affected them as a person, how it's affected their level of trust, you know, if it's your pastor, your father, your brother, your babysitter, your cousin, that violated you as a child, of course you're going to have trouble with a stranger or, you know, someone that you meet and start to fall in love with. So we do a lot of work with opening up that line of communication, making it okay to talk about it, to not blame oneself, and also find out what behaviors and thoughts and negative thinking is attached to the trauma, not the person, you know. So that's a little bit about the work that I do. Also with children, I recently had a youth group in Florida where we talked about exactly what you said about going to the doctor, any touch that's inappropriate, even if it's a friend, a doctor, anything that makes you feel uncomfortable is worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, mentioning to an adult. And if that adult doesn't believe you, doesn't hear you, doesn't understand you, go ahead and tell another adult. And if there's nothing wrong, like in your case, the doctor was being appropriate, then it'll be okay. And if there is an issue and it is inappropriate, then an adult will take action. You know, and if not one, then the next. And the reason why I always tell children, if one adult doesn't believe you, tell another. Because just like you said, a parent may be in denial. Or they themselves may have been a victim of that same perpetrator and are afraid, or they have grown to, you know, with that same sickness of thinking that that is okay. With my own daughter, I had a situation where she went to go and see a urologist, and the urologist needed to do a check of her vaginal area, and she said no. And I told her that was perfectly okay. We would wait until a female doctor was available, and that I would be in the room the entire time, and that they would explain exactly what they were going to do. Children, you know, and I was, as much as I wanted to know what was going on with her at the moment, and I wanted the doctor to see her right then, I was so happy. Right. I was like thrilled that she knew enough that, no, this is an area we had already talked about, and I don't care. It's not okay. That, I mean, I felt so good knowing that. So I do work with children, empowering them to speak up for themselves. When they're not heard, keep speaking up for themselves, and just having that open dialogue that it's not normal. That's not a normal part of growing up.
It's important that we do teach children and adults to say no, and that you have very comprehensive talks with children, because it's a little bit more than if anyone touches you, let me know. Like, there's got to be a lot of different scenarios. Like, one time I read someone saying, well, I teach my children not to go with any strange men. Okay, I mean, that's good, and that's a definite step in the right direction. But, you know, we do know that sometimes, you know, a predator will use another child, or they may use a woman, or women may be the predator. So, you know, you want to really think about different kinds of scenarios, get that in their head so they don't get tricked out there.
Yes. You know what, Vic, you just mentioned, you said a woman may be a predator. I think it's very important. There are lots of women predators.
Yes.
You know, when we look at the stats of boys, we have this you know, thought that, oh, you know, it's other men molesting boys, and that is completely not true.
Right.
It can be women as well. And, again, there's a very, very pervasive cycle when it comes to all types of abuse. Those that are abused do have the tendency to repeat that type of behavior. So if you're seeing that, you know, 1 in 5 girls have been abused, that means that if, you know, they're not treated, they're not able to cope properly, they're not addressing that this is not a norm, this is not what should have been done to you, and we don't do this to anyone else, they tend to take on the same behaviors as their perpetrator and hurt other, you know, other children.
Right.
When they become in a position of power. So please, you know, don't just teach your children to be careful of, you know, strange men in white vans. Even your peers, oftentimes children are molested by the older siblings or, you know, the sibling of a friend. Unfortunately, we are not in the minds of everyone, and we can't be around our children at all times, but we can give them strategies to be safe. And more than anything, if anything happens to them, they need to feel that they can tell you. They're not going to be blamed. They're going to be safe, and you're going to handle it, and they're not going to have to deal with the consequences of telling. We need to validate our children, and I think that's just as important as keeping them out of harm's way, is that when they are harmed, that we take action and that they know that, you know, that they're important.
And to know the signs, because, you know, unfortunately, I'm sure like 1 out of 99 children are listening to this broadcast right now. So, you know, as a parent or as an adult or as an older sibling, you know the signs. I remember when I was in pre-K or daycare, one of those things, there was a little girl, I think we were 4 years old, maybe 5 years old, who she invited me to go down to her, right? And then, of course, I did, you know. But the, you know, growing up, you know, or as I became an adult, I'm like, well, shit. Like, you know, little girl asking me if I want to kiss her there, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess there's a chance that she just thought of that herself, I suppose. But, mm-hmm. you know,
unlikely.
More than likely, she was being abused in that way, mm-hmm. you know. But as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, that's definitely a sign that the child is a bit sexually suggestive early. But now we got, mm-hmm. I'm not that old, but we got this music, newfangled music out there. We don't know if it was, you know, and I love B, but we don't know if it's Beyonce or Uncle Fester. We don't know what it is. You know, we don't know if, like,
what
a child
mm-hmm.
is doing ungodly things, you know, with themselves. You know, we don't know if it was the internet, the hotline, the radio, if it was a predator, you know, the children, they grew up, you know, hyper...
Hypersexualized. Mm-hmm.
You know, hypersexualized. Thank you. That's another word. You know, so you have to pay even that much closer, you know, attention to that. And I have some common problems that are linked to sexual abuse. And this is from Psychology Today. Now, you may hear certain things on this list. It does not mean that you were abused. And if you were abused, maybe things on this list that may not be linked to your abuse, but here are things that we just find that are linked to abuse in certain cases, okay? So that's for people who think that they or know they have been abused, but think that they are fine now. And you may be fine now, but here are some things that if you hear them, you may not have known that you may have still things that you may need to conquer. All right, here we go. So we have depression. Obviously, we have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We have substance abuse, suicidal thoughts, low self-esteem or self-hatred, feelings of guilt, shame, and blame, sleep disorders, trust issues, low sexual desire, compulsive sexual behavior, high-risk sexual activity, erection and orgasm problems, belief that sex is all that you have to offer, and that's men and women, okay? Tendency to withdraw from relationships and society, a fear of intimacy or commitment, and re-victimization. So if there are any of these things that you know that you deal with, but you're not really sure where it came from, perhaps you may need to look into that or have someone help. And speaking of helping, I didn't have my reading glasses on. So I said LN6.org, but actually it's 1N6.org, which makes total more sense. It's 1N6.org. That's number 1IN, the number 6.org. And that is Help for Men Who Suffer Sexual Abuse as Children. So, yeah. I think we're going to run a little bit longer. We have time for any more calls or any calls at 323-657-1479. But of course, it is okay to listen. I think we're gonna play one more song. This is one of my personal favorites. It's Tupac featuring the Outlaws. This is called "Baby Don't Cry." I'm gonna come back and we're gonna wrap up and we're gonna talk about some business and then we'll talk about the Maha Club and. We're going to go. So without further ado, here is the late, great Tupac.
I feel you. Baby, don't. You can't give up. Baby, don't cry. Hope you got your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry. Hope you got your head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Now here's a story about a woman with dreams. So picture perfect at 13 and Ebony Queen. Beneath the surface it was more than just a grippy smile. Nobody knew about a secret so it took a while. I could
see a tear fall slow down a black G, setting quiet tears in the backseat. So when she asked me, what would you do if it was you? Couldn't answer, such a horrible pain to live through. I tried to trade places in the tragedy. I couldn't picture three crazy niggas grabbing me. For just a moment I was trapped in the pain. Lord, come and take me, for niggas violated. They chased and they break me, even though it wasn't me. I could feel the grief thinking with your brains blown. That would make the pain go no. You gotta find a way to survive, cause they win when your soul dies. Baby, please don't cry. You gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry. You gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry. Hope you got your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up.
Get him, girl. Get him, girl. He ain't gonna never change. I ain't no hater, but that nigga lost in the game. After the bright lights, big things. He probably could love you, but he in love with the struggle. Every day, his mind on getting more. And never your feelings, he chasing means for show. Uh-oh, now you about to have his baby. Another wild ass nigga that's gonna drive you crazy. You got too much more living to do. It's fitness to you, cause you deserve more than what he's giving to you. Beautiful black, precious and complicated. A new millennium, dime piece of fine shit. Got them all stuck standing still when she come through. Baby, take a little more time. Love will find you and show us the sky is blue. Somebody other than me gon' give you everything you need. Feel
baby, me. Don't cry. You gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up. Baby, don't cry. You gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up. Baby, don't cry. I hope you got your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up.
From jump, now you losing, you was choosing the wrong man, dealt the wrong hand. Was young and beautiful, lost and turned out, but you let that nigga do to you. Damn. I knew her since elementary, she blew a kiss to me, wrote me a note and crayon, wanting to get with me. We was kids, now she got three kids, they see their father age, they now know who he is. Seen him last night, homie roller E-class, mad cheese in a stash, still at that beat, dad. I bring up pampers and food, just as I do, with those MICs, nothing really I could do. Nah. I feel pity for you, you ain't even his wife, 17 with three kids, locked down for life. Should've chose me, she bought the OC from the pressure. Hell nah, I won't let her.
Baby, don't cry, you gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry, you gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard, never give up. Baby, don't cry, I hope you got your head up, even when the road is hard, never give up.
I'm just going to say Tupac's song was, like, better than Destiny's Child and De La Soul put together this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So we want to get out of here, but we want to – I want to throw some more – can I throw some more numbers out there? Not numbers out there. Like,
Yeah. And again, these are really for you to kind of open up your eyes to the fact that everywhere you turn – you know, somebody may be needing your help. We don't know what people are going through, and that you're not alone. You know, if you had this experience and you're feeling like, you know, fuck, this is just my life, there's resources out there available to you, and there's people who have gone through similar things that have done well, like Vic mentioned in the beginning of the show. So share with us some more, Vic.
And if you have assaulted someone, you know, mm-hmm. You're not alone either, and you know
you need to get help too.
You know, the help thing. I'm on the fence about the help thing, but you definitely need to speak on that to someone, whether it be authorities or therapists, I don't know. But also just know that just the effect that it leaves for people. So these are stats, and of course stats are stats, and they're not always 100% accurate, but they are usually near accurate, right? We have that there are about 400,000 registered sex offenders in the U.S., and it's estimated that 80 to 100,000 of them are missing. All right, so that's about 25% of people who are supposed to be registered, but we don't really know where they are, where they're living, right? And if you're not familiar with the sex offender registry, you should get familiar with that. I look at it here and there, you know, new people around me. Oh, you was locked up, fam? All right, let me just look and see exactly what, you know, you was locked up for. And I do actually, I did know a dude that I looked him up, known him for a second. Well, Paul, I didn't look him up. I looked on the registry, and I saw he had a rape charge, you know. So, you know, I assume he did, like, 9 years and da-da-da, whatever. But, you know, it wasn't for no shooting or any drugs. It was rape. I don't know him anymore. Now, another stat is that the average, this is going to, I hope everyone's sitting down, but the average pedophile, based upon their admissions, the average pedophile molests 260 victims during their lifetime. So if we want to find out, okay, well, where do all these high numbers come from, like the 1 in 6 and 1 in 20, you know, that's because we have over 260 victims in their lifetime. And then we learned that a lot of them start when they are about 15 years old.
Very
they start
young, yeah.
abusing or just doing wild out shit that just don't make no damn sense. And, you know, you think it's funny or something, but, you know, it really ain't. We have that 89% of child sexual assault cases involve persons that know the child. We have 75% victimization of children took place in the victim's home or the offender's home, so it's always usually being home. We have that 60% of male survivors sampled said that one of their perpetrators were female. Okay, so that's a pretty high number. We have that 75% of sexual predators are under the age of 35. Okay, and 80% of them are of normal intelligence or above. They're not idiots out here. Not like, you know, they people who just like
yeah,
me and you,
very,
very intelligent. You know, in other ways. We're almost finished, folks. We're almost finished. Bear with me. We've got to get all this out because we want to honor everybody's story, right? We have that about half of all convicted sexual offenders are sent back to prison within a year. Okay. Within 2 years, 75% are back, and that's in California. You know, but if you sell some weed, you know, this is weird how the laws work with that type of stuff. And a couple more stats. We learned that, I'm sorry, I lost my place, but I was reading earlier that with young children who are molested, a lot of times they're molested by young children. Right. So you have someone like
right.
3 and 7, and they may be abused by, you know, a 12-year-old. You know, and as we know, the foundation of your sexual experience more often than none sticks with you. You know, even in a healthy situation, you know, the thing that you liked the first couple of times when you were in college or wherever you were at, you probably finna like that, you know what I'm saying? And look for new experiences in that. the same thing. And I found it. 40, I was stolen. 40% of the offenders of victims under 6 were juveniles. So 40% of people who abused people under 6 were juveniles. You know, so there we are, you know. You said a term, Jazz, you said earlier, you know, mm-hmm. wherever you turn, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it is what it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
is what it is. And this
no
show will always be
here.
Right. This show will always be here. I know it's a difficult show to listen to, but mm-hmm. it'll always be here. Hopefully you can share this show to people so they can, you know, hear from themselves. And if you want to hit us up on the topic, you can email at theemotionpicture@gmail.com. And,
I was just going to say, if you, you know, you work with a group, you want more education for, you know, for your staff, your church group, your ladies group, or you're having some issues with intimacy because of an assault that may have taken place with you as a child or a young adult, please feel free to hit me privately at jetsettingjasmine@gmail.com, and we'll either get you the help that you need or arrange for some consultation.
Because you are actually a licensed clinical social worker, yes?
I am.
An intimacy counselor and all types of different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I learned from you, but not
from you,
because I'm the
actual same
thing. I'm a junior. Oh, okay, group hug. So that is that. Now, speaking of group hugs, we have an announcement to make.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to make it? I guess you want to put it on me, aren't you?
Of course.
Well,
you brought me into
all,
this, so you take us out.
Right. Great show, by the way. Great, great show to you. Thanks to our producers, Chastity and Rusty. Shaw was to call in a little bit later, but he didn't get a chance. Thank you to everyone who listened tonight. And everyone who's listened for the past 3 years. I think it makes 3 years next month, I think, that we've been on the air. And
like I said earlier,
we covered so much. We've learned so much. You know, I've heard that we touched people. Remember the guy that called from Iowa? Remember the time?
Yeah.
You know, so we had a lot of
great. He still follows us very closely.
Does he? I didn't know that. Well, Iowa,
yeah.
Dude.
He does. Terry.
Well, he needs to call up. Iowa, dude, call up next week or something like that. You know, so we've had a lot of great experiences. We shared experiences. We've all grown in our personal and professional lives. We made some money, lost a little bit of money. We started our own online community. And we owe it all to this show. Right? All to the, great guest. Done. Had Trick Daddy here a couple times. Steve Rose, you know, great, great, great. So it is with great. Is gravity the word, Jazz? I don't know. Is gravity?
Yeah, that'll do.
With a heavy heart. With a heavy heart.
Very heavy heart.
Yeah, heavy, 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 heavy heart. I am announcing that on February 16th, we were going to do our first show, which is Post-Valentine's Day Syndrome. Right, that was our first show. I think February 15th in 2000 and whatever, that would be 10 or 11. I don't know, whatever. I don't count too well. I see numbers, but I don't really count too well.
2011,
right. There you go. Okay. And so we're going to revisit that topic again, post-Valentine's Day Syndrome, which was coined by Shah Simulai, our co-host. And that will be our last show forever, ever. That's right.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're not doing this no more. But fair or not, the Mile High Club, which you're going to be hearing in a few minutes, which is hosted by King Noir and Jet Set and Jasmine, that will continue, right? Yeah, I'm not going to stop that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool. That will continue. This will not continue. But you know, again, thank you. You know, we've had almost 100,000 listens, you know, so I'm definitely proud, you know, of that. And
absolutely.
The archives will always be here for you, though I will not. The archives will be here. And any words, Nick? Do you concur?
No. It's been a great 3-year run. I have learned so much about myself, about people. It's been a wonderful experience, an opportunity for all of us to expand ourselves personally and professionally, and we've just met amazing people along the way. It's totally bittersweet. I am looking forward to having my Sunday nights back, but but you know what? It's sweet because we have some even better things in store. The Emotion Picture brand stays with you. Continue to continue to follow us
more
on
money,
Twitter.
More money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like
I sold out. I'm actually going to be on another station. No, I'm just playing.
No, you're not. Yes, stay with us. Keep following us for new updates. A lot of new things. We're taking what we've learned here and we're making bigger and better things for you guys. So,
tell them the Instagram.
Yes, on Instagram, the Emotion Pick. The Emotion Pick Twitter is the Emotion Pick also. And on Facebook, the Emotion Picture Radio Show. And please stick around and listen to the Mile High Show. You'll be hearing more of that, as Vic mentioned. And we'll be around, you know?
Yeah, well, we're not going nowhere yet. Our next show, it's going to be a revisit of our Tell Me Something show, and that's where you, our listeners, can give us a call through voicemail or email us or Facebook us some questions you have for either myself, Jet Set and Jasmine, or Shah Simulai, and we're going to answer everything. So take part in that. It's been 3 years.
Yep.
Some of you want to know, we're going to spill all the beans. And that's so. Stick around. Don't go nowhere. Check out the Mile High Club show. And I believe that this particular show, the Mile High show, is Sensual Activists.
Mm-hmm.
What that is, but it sounds revolutionary.
It is, and you're gonna learn so much more about our work with sexual intimacy. So listen to it and give us some feedback. Can't wait to hear from you.
Oh, I forgot the panty parties, and some of that I learned that someone told me is that when women are victims of rape, when they go to the hospital or whatever, like obviously the undergarments have been discarded, you know, by them or the attacker, but if not, and they go to the hospital, you know, it's evidence, and so sometimes the woman will be there with no undergarments, or they have to use the disposable joints, you know what I'm saying, which I can only imagine adds, you know, to the humiliation, you know. So I was told that, and what we started to do is do these panty parties, and the panty parties that we have fun, and we, you know, do what we do at regular parties, but we take donations for undergarments, panties, for women in this scenario, as well as the scenario of homelessness or those who are in domestic violence shelters. Because, you know, once you run or you leave, you don't really pack everything, and you just get out of Dodge and everything. So find a way that, you know, that you can help. You don't got to go around in the 18 van, you know what I'm saying, looking for lessons, whatever, you know, but however you can help in your little way, you know, help in that way, okay? And that's that. So without any further ado, here is the Mile High Club, and I'm out.
Good night.
Don't say good night, because, no, I'm out. They're going to hear your voice. They'll hear your voice, so you just act like you're still
here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She ain't going nowhere.
Join me.
Your hands on my hips, hold me right back to you. I catch that breath, give it right back to you. You're in so deep, I'm breathing for you. You grab my brain, toss my back high for you. Your diesel engine.
Good evening and welcome to the Mile High Club. I'm your pilot tonight, Jasmine, and flying with me is...
Full Sister King Noir. Love it when Jill Scott is singing to me.
I thought she was singing to me. I thought she was singing about me.
I guess there's some things that you haven't told us, man. And we'll leave that for another show, I think.
Yes, let's. So, King, how are you tonight?
I'm feeling good. I'm relaxing. You know, how about yourself?
I am coming down off of a very, very exciting and busy week that we had in New York and New Jersey.
Yes, yes, we've done, what, 2 coasts in 2 months.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, we have. And we've done them very well.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the last 3-4 months or something, we've done Miami, New York, Los Angeles.
You gotta figure out what's going on in the Midwest.
Chicago, Detroit.
Yes.
A lot of places that need some a fantasy flight out there.
I agree. So we have some major shout outs to give before we get into tonight's discussion. But first and foremost, I have to let our listeners know that I had a chance to experience a totally different side of you over the last week. Very, very impressive. King is actually a very well-known MC who goes by Hasan Salam. It's really Hasan Salam who goes by King, but, you know. As And of the years that we've been working together, of course, I've known about your music and I've heard it, but I've never seen you perform live. And I had the pleasure of seeing you in, I think it was in New Brunswick, right, at Old Bay?
Yes, yes. It's funny, all the time you didn't even believe that I did
no.
music. It was like, why are you lying? You just be massaging and stripping and stuff.
Well, you know, I know you in one capacity, but, and you know, the YouTube videos and the pictures and the tour and stuff, I mean, you know, it was believable.
CGI.
I thought I was being catfished, but to see you perform was, it was really a treat. The crowd responded so well to you. You are a very talented man beyond what you do as King. I can definitely see the passion in both, and you really lit up the stage. So thanks for letting me witness that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Piggybacking off of that, actually, I actually just got a good write-up, so shout out to all the people at Afropunk, Ms. for interviewing me and actually talking about what they like to call a double life, but I just call my life. So, you know, just talking about what I do in regards to music and activism, and then also what we do in regards to fantasy flight parties and me being a master fetish trainer and all, you know.
Right. And so, we're going to talk a little bit about the activism and this, well, really the sexual activism that we do a little bit later in the hour. So, yeah, great article. Check it out if you haven't, Afropunk. Also had a chance to see Negros Americanos. Those two guys were very, very entertaining, smart brothers. And also CF, had a chance to hear him. So I just had a little bit, a nice exposure to hip-hop to start off my fantasy flight in New York and New Jersey.
That's all Jersey hip hop right there too. So.
Yeah, it was good too. And there was a
Shout
singer, an amazing singer. I believe her name is Danielle. She rode her bike to the show and blew her little heart out. That girl could sing. She was as big as a saxophone, but she could blow. And she rode her little bike home. So she's a very impressionable artist. I believe her name was Danielle. If not, I have to look her up.
Yeah.
And we all had some jazzy girls come and check you out. There was Ashina from Jersey City, Abby, and one of the ladies who just stole King's heart, Sasha. You know,
oh my
and heart. I couldn't tell.
You got jokes.
I could God not tell.
Jokes.
You know, it was so cool.
I thought she was going to kidnap
that,
my brother.
I don't know what she was going to do. She was something else, but it is so cool to see the ladies react, you know, whether it's rap or it's fantasy flight. Like, the ladies really, really love you. Your charm comes through. It was just really fun to watch. But, yeah, shout out to Sasha. I hope she is alive and well. Whew. So, what else did we do?
we actually got to be a part of the Masquerade Ball at the museum.
Yeah, that was nice. The Art of Seduction with Monica Martinez.
Yes, yes. That was actually our second time doing an actual performance piece outside of a party. I think it went over really well. You did your touch and tease performance, and I got to do a massage on stage for everybody. So, shout out to everybody that was there. Came to enjoy, you know. Big shout out and thank you to Majesty, Letitia, and Tanika for helping us out.
Yeah, they were wonderful. It was a fun time, a very classy affair, and was happy to be a part of it. And then we got to try it out on another lively group at the Sweet Spot, New York City, at Santo's Party House. And I got to bring out my pole this time, so that was really fun. And God knows I haven't done that for an audience in a long time, so definitely fun and different, and I felt like the crowd responded really well to us there as well. So, good time. Did I miss anything?
We've been incredibly busy. I think a lot of times people might not completely understand what it is that we do. So it's always fun for me to get before a new crowd, a new audience, and actually introduce them to our brand of, you know, sensuality, sexuality, fetishism, and eroticism. I think that we've opened up some new minds and possibly some new ears to our radio program as well. So welcome if this is your first time listening to us. And actually, in this show, I know what you really wanted to speak about was what we do in regards to sexual activism.
Yes, I definitely would. So one of our main reasons for meeting up in New York was to attend the Connect the Dots panty party. And we were co-sponsors of the event, and it's where a group of people get together for a different cause. And this month it was to support the fight against domestic violence. And Jessette and Jasmine, Sensual Noir, and some of our listeners of the Mile High Club, as well as the Emotion Picture Radio Show, all pitched in and put together beautiful underwear. There were some Victoria's Secret bags. There were some, you know, really pretty panties and toiletries together for the ladies of a domestic violence shelter in Harlem. And the idea behind that, I mean, it's always nice to have a sexy pair of panties, but even more importantly, a lot of these ladies abandon their homes or they're raped and they go straight from, you know, the hospital or wherever, trauma center, into these shelters, and they don't have a clean pair of their own underwear. And oftentimes shelters have lots of clothes, but they don't have undergarment, clean, new, unused undergarment. So it was a very personal drive, but also right up our alley. So that was what we did, and we're continuing to collect donations. So please get in contact with either King or myself or any of the staff of the Emotion Picture, and we'll be happy to make sure that those donations make it to the ladies. We were fortunate enough to be invited back to the domestic violence shelter and to a workshop on redefining sexuality. And this time King joined me, which was an added element and bonus because the ladies had a safe space to speak with both myself and in a man's presence about some very pressing and personal issues around sexuality in the context of violence and healing from that violence. So it was definitely a powerful workshop, and one of the things that, you know, we party hard, but at the same time, we work really hard to make sure that women and couples feel very safe and secure in their sexuality. So I think that we started to create a nice space for healing as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, King?
Absolutely. I think it's important to reclaim, you know, your happiness, your sexuality, your confidence, when you're coming out of an abusive situation. I think a lot of times people in the clinical field, they're afraid to just let somebody reclaim things for themselves, you know. And I think it was a testament to the shelter to bring us in and try something different, try something new. You know, it's people do the same things over and over and over again. But at a certain point, you have to allow people to pick themselves up and get back out there and start loving themselves for all the reasons they loved themselves for in the beginning.
Absolutely. The center does a lot of work on helping the women kind of re-enter society from, you know, getting back in the job force or getting training and education in areas that they weren't able to because of their household situation. They help the women find apartments and safe housing and schooling for their kids. But the director there at the shelter, Mrs. Lloyd, you know, is really a woman that sees her clients as complete humans, that they have to heal every aspect of their life to move forward and to get into healthy relationships and to see their bodies in a positive way and to see their, you know, to improve their own self-image. And that is what King and I do. Even when we're having a good time at our, you know, quote-unquote regular fantasy flight parties, we are really focused on making sure that people are, number one, their number one priority is their own self-image, their own sexual image, and their preferences. So we had a chance to do some activities with the ladies, and one of my favorite activities that we did with the women is the actual definitions of their sexuality, where they got to tell us kind of how they saw themselves, or even how they still see themselves, and what their future definition of themselves would be from a sexual perspective.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember some that stuck out to you, like old definitions, new?
Well, a lot of the old definitions seem to be what didn't always seem like they had made those definitions themselves.
Right.
That somebody told them, this is who they were, this is what they were,
mm-hmm.
and they'd accepted it for whatever reason, you know.
Right.
I think one of the sisters has said something to the effect that she felt worthless, and that the way she was treated by her ex or whatever was just like, she felt like a concubine.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she was the one that I felt she was so inspiring, because everything that she had spoke about after that was how she's empowering herself and taking the time to love herself and reappreciate mm-hmm. herself. You know, so to come from that particular place to a place of empowerment was really inspiring.
Absolutely. There, you know, we were in a room, a diverse room of absolutely beautiful, stunning women from all different countries and different age brackets. Some were mothers, others weren't. I mean, there was just a diverse group of beautiful women, and to hear them define themselves as, you know, unattractive or unappreciated and not able to look at themselves in the mirror, because, like you said, of whatever physical, verbal, and sexual abuse they have gone under over the years, to then, you know, towards the end of the workshop, hear them speak about themselves in a way, saying, you know, I will see myself as beautiful one day, or over time I'll be able to look at myself naked and maybe allow someone else at some point to see me that way. It was really fun. We did things where we all closed our eyes and danced to music, and then when the music stopped, we all like picked our favorite, most sensual part of our body. So those are just some of the activities that we did, and I think, you know, everyone left just feeling a little bit better about themselves, and just sharing that space with each other was important to hear some of the misconceptions, I guess, about sex and learning from one another. There was some interesting things that their perpetrators have put in their head to maintain control, and hopefully we dispelled some of those myths.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, usually in any form of abuse, the person who the attacker, the abuser, has to get into somebody's mind in order, because everyone is strong. Everyone has an inner strength. Everyone has power. And the only way you can let this continue to happen to you is if you give up that power. So, you know, when we do talks like this on empowerment, whether it be revolving around sexuality or just individuality and loving oneself, it's so important to reinforce in people that they have the ability and they have the inner strength to overcome anything, but also to become anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the great things about these workshops, I also find, and again, whether it's at a shelter or, you know, whether it is a group of school age, you know, teenagers, that one of the things I think is extremely important to women and men as well is to learn our own preferences in our first safe space, which is by ourselves. I felt like in doing these workshops over the last year now, I find that a lot of our preferences, and even in what would be a normally healthy relationship or seemingly healthy relationship, don't always come from our own personal sexploration, as we like to say, but from those preferences of someone else. So, you know, we spend a lot of time during these workshops and just with our private consultations of helping people explore what they actually like sexually and empowering them to bring their preferences and personal fetishes into their intimate relationships, not just relying on someone else to shape that for you, because it is so important that you're just as satisfied as you are pleasing to your partner.
Absolutely.
So, not to mention, you may not always have a partner, so it's good to always be able to entertain yourself in a lot of ways.
Very true.
So, King, I just want to let everyone know that we are, again, continuing to accept donations for undergarment for these ladies. We have definitely adopted them as our own. And we are also going to be doing an upcoming art project. We really want their space to be beautiful and to just reduce the images of violence and things that are just unpleasing to look at every day that you come in and out of your temporary living environment. So we're asking artists and people who own beautiful art, if they are interested in helping decorate this shelter, we would be honored to deliver that to the women and the children that live in the shelter. And again, we're talking about artwork that you want to wake up and look at, not just any old artwork.
Yes, and also, at the same time, you know, a lot of our listeners work in all types of different fields, and if you're interested in having us come speak or do any kind of workshops based around sexuality and empowerment, definitely reach out to us, you know. The same as our parties, they can be as mild or wild as you like.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we've been called sex educators, I guess, like, you know, sex educators. You can't just, you know, use two words anymore. You got to put them together. The sex solution.
But, well, I think it's important, though, because there are still so many misconceptions about sex. So many misconceptions about sexuality. I mean, we live in a country where people still don't think people should be married if they love each
right.
other, you know? So it's like, regardless of whatever your background is, it's just about learning from one another and trying to make the world safe for other
yeah.
people to express themselves sexually, and just as each of us deserve our right to do so, so do other people if they're a little different, you know.
Absolutely. So speaking of a little different and expressing oneself sexually, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, we're gonna definitely do a show on this. So there's new to the website, we have a page called Our Fetish Flight, where King and I are now opening ourselves up, our services up, to do more work with fetish training. We've been doing it all along, but now we're getting a little bit more involved and really digging in there to some of people's most treasured fetishes. I like to say treasured and not unusual or different, because
yeah.
come to find out, a lot of us have this thing. I mean, there's some real common fetishes, and it's like, oh, you're into that too? Oh, you too? So we're trying to create more of a space for people to not only explore, but also to be able to express very comfortably their fetishes and do them in a safe way. And connect, you know, connect people that may be interested in certain things together. So please check out our new page on the website, which is our fetish flight, and let us know what you think. And if you have some questions or an interest in fetish training, please let us know. We'll be happy to come wherever you are and have a session or two or more. Any thoughts, Mr. Master Fetish Trainer?
Don't worry about anything that's ever been placed in your mind that is taboo or too freaky or whatever anybody has said, you know. As we always say, you know, as long as it's not hurting anybody and it's not illegal, you should be.
Fair game.
Yeah, you know, there are certain things that, you know, they
might be.
We're
talking about the bad kind of hurt. We're talking about
the bad kind of hurt.
Yeah,
Definitely. Take the opportunity to read up on whatever it is. I mean, sometimes the fetishes we have or the sexual desires that we have come from different places within our own psyche. And it's a beautiful journey to find out where it comes from. You know, it's not always a bad thing to want to be tied up or tie someone up or try different flavors, positions, and ideas. It's
Hey. Save it for the next show.
As usual, make sure that you follow us both on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I'm King Noir, and on Instagram, I'm The King Noir. That's THEKINGNOIRD. What about you, Jess?
On Twitter, I'm Jet Set Jasmine, and on Instagram, Jet Setting Jasmine. And you can follow both of us on Facebook, Facebook.com/jetsettingjasmine. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're also on Tumblr. Just Google Jet Setting Jasmine. You'll find us.
Yeah, that's the other news right now.
What's
that?
Now, that's
Scotty.
Right.
So I will be blogging soon.
That is right, actually.
All kinds of interesting things to use for my massages and for the parties and for my personal alone time.
Ladies, you are in trouble.
King in trouble?
Has now
asked
the good kind of trouble. The good kind of trouble, the good kind of thing. Yeah. King has access now to every sex toy that there is in the world. I'm convinced that how exotic has every sex toy. So make sure you read our blog on jetsettingjasmine.com. I have some toys up there, toy reviews up there already, but I am looking forward to the male's review. Well, not the male review, but King's perspective on Cal Exotic toys and the Jopin line and who knows who, what else will be sent your way.
Yes,
that is exciting news. So before we wrap up, please listen to some of our archive shows, the Mile High Club, and also check out the Emotion Picture Radio Show. And I am, again, your co-pilot, Jasmine, and checking out King from Last Word.
Yes. This is a renaissance for the automaking laws jet set around the globe with the Mile High Club. See y'all soon.
Good night.
Your hands on my hips, hold me right back to you. I catch that breath, give it right back to you. You're in so deep, I'm breathing for you. You grab my brakes, off my back high for you. Your diesel engine, I'm squirting that oil. Down on the floor, till my speakers got the boil. I flip shish, quick snip, hip dip, and I'm twisted. And your hands and your lips and your tongue trick. And you're so thick, and you're so thick, and you're so crown royal on ice. Crown royal on ice. Crown royal on ice. Crown royal on ice. Your hands on my hips, hold me right back to you. Hip dip.
twist.